You're on the record. We're on the record, guys. Okay, we're on the record. Pei Zayin. We got down yesterday to the two dots. And there we were talking about, so there's two dots here about 10 lines down. We finished off with the last couple of pages. We've been dealing with the concept of using some, if you're in the seller's premises, but you're using the stuff that's being sold is in lekeiachs, kelim, etc. And then we talked about the fact that mashicha doesn't work in a case where something is lift upable. What's the word that I invented? Then you have to, the way to make the kinyan is by lifting it up. And things that are heavy and you can't lift them up, then you can use mashicha, just pulling it along. And the last topic we talked about was when the deal says 30 bucks for a kor, which is $1 per sa'ah, then the kinyan takes place as each sa'ah is measured out. But if it doesn't mention $1 per sa'ah, then until he's got the whole kor, which is 30 sa'ah, the transaction has not taken place. That was a Rav and Shmuel special. So having got through that, then we talked about a worker who's getting paid by the day. If you're going to pay him, if he's going to get a discount because you're paying him early, he has to actually start working early. If you pay him now and he's going to work later and he gives you a cheap price because you're paying him now, then it looks like interest because it looks like he's giving you better work for the fact that you paid him 3 months ahead, which is the time value of money. For the fact that I give him money and he could use it during that time, he's giving me extra. That's a bordering on a.
Well, you hire him on the day you actually need him, charge him more.
That's right. But if you pay him ahead of time, and he's not actually working, if he's not actually working now, and he pays, and you pay him now, and he's going to start working in 3 months' time, that means meanwhile he's got your money. For he gets to use your money that you gave him now, and for the as a sort of a payment for the fact that he got your money, he's going to do cheaper work for you later. So it looks like, it's not really interest, but it looks like interest, and therefore you can't do it. That was the last topic we finished with yesterday. By the two dots, we go back to what it said in the Mishnah. If somebody is trying to make a kinyan on some fruit or grain or whatever that's growing and attached still to the ground, the tolash kol shehu, if he pulled out a little bit, he pulled an apple off the tree, then he is kinda the whole peiros, or the full amount. The full amount. In fact, this is a hemshech to the Mishnah, which was talking about pishton, right? Pishton is flax, or linen. Flax grows on a tree? Is that what happens to flax? It grows on something, yeah?
It's not a tree.
Right, so what do we say? That if a person buys pishton from his friend, he's not kona unless he moves it from place to place. But if it was attached to the ground still, so in the bush, the pishton bush, and he pulled a little bit, he's kona. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean he pulled off a little bit, he's kona? Mishum de tolash kol shehu kona? Just because he pulled off a little bit, he's kona the whole deal, 50 tons of it? What's going on here? As Amar Rav Sheisha, Tachal Mayaskinon, over here, the way it worked was the Omar le lechia pelecha karka kol shehu ukni kol mashallah. The type of kinyan he's making here is not a pulling off the tree type of kinyan, but it's the fact that he tells him to do some improvement in the ground. When it says over here tolash, it doesn't mean because he picked one fruit or one strand of pishton. What's it called? One thing of pishton. That means he's kona the whole tree, but it's because he's doing like an improvement in the ground, in the actual bush,
so
whatever it's called.
Being kona the karka, that's he being kona the tree.
That's right. So then he's kona the karka with the tree, with the pishton that's on it. So that's a whole. So that's how that kinyan works. Yeah, it's not because you pull one apple off the tree and you're kona the whole tree with that. There's no such kinyan of apple picking. Right, but if pulling off an apple is done for the purpose of improving the tree, like pruning the tree or whatever, then that is an act of ownership of the tree, which would be considered a kinyan, because we know that with karka, one of the ways of kinyanim is chazaka, and chazaka means, in this instance, doing an action in the karka that improves it somewhat. Either, you know, we talk about building a fence, knocking down the fence, but also, you know, digging a little bit, some kind of a physical activity. So if you do something to make the tree better, then you kind of the tree in that fashion. Okay, that's that. Now, next Mishnah.
You didn't get him here.
Careful, you're on the camera. Hamoicha yayin v'shem on the chaveri. Somebody who's selling wine or oil to his friend. V'hukru v'sha huzlu. In the middle, while the transaction was going on, at some point, we'll see in a second, the price changed. Yeah, so if it got cheaper, obviously the buyer would like to start all over again and pay the lower price. If it got more expensive, the seller would like to start all over again and charge a higher price.
Is that disturbing you? No, I'm a little bit.
So what he's doing, he's pouring it into the container. That's how it is. You turn up at the wine shop, and the guy pours it out from the big barrel into your container. Is if the, well, I shouldn't say your container, because we're going to discuss whose container it is, but a container, yeah? Is if the container is not, so I'm buying 5 liters of wine in the container, and he's pouring it out, and he hasn't got the 5 liters yet, he's only halfway there. Is if the measuring container isn't full yet, then lemoicher. At that point, all the wine still belongs to the seller, and he can say, stop, I didn't mean it, I'm starting all over again. You want to buy it, you got to pay the new price. Yeah? Mishan is smallest, I mean, or similarly, if it got cheaper, he can say, bad luck, you got to pay the price that we agreed. I'm sorry, at that point, it still belongs to the mocha, so the keker is mine. Yeah, so it still belongs to the seller at that point, and therefore the transaction can be backed out. Mishan is smallest, Amida. But once it's full, l'lekeach. Now that means the transaction's already taken effect. There's no changing your mind now. And whatever price you struck is struck. And that's it. Ve'im ha'yasarsar b'neim. If there was an intermediary, let's say you have like a wholesaler, right? So I want to buy some wine. I don't go directly to the owner of the wine to... I want to buy a volume of wine. I don't find a vintner and say, oh, can you sell me some of your wine that you grew in your backyard? I go to, what's it called? Wholesalers? Vintage wholesalers? Vintage wholesalers? What are they, yeah? And
Dan Murphy.
And I say to Dan Murphy, I want to buy wine. Meanwhile, Dan Murphy's gone to Yehuda and bought some of his wine off his wonderful vineyard that he's got. And I'm buying it from the middleman. Yeah? So I'm not buying it directly from the owner of the wine. So he's like a deal maker, a broker. Yeah.
But hang on, but what is he? Is he like a shliach of the?
Oh, this is a good question. So we're going to say in a second. So he is the middleman, right? So you got a buyer who wants to buy wine, you got a seller who's selling wine, and you got the guy who's the shadchan in the middle who organizes the deal. He finds you.
A commission. He's not going to do it for you.
Okay, so he'll get a commission. The commission's a side point over here. Here we're talking about at what point is the transaction taking place. Yeah? When you start... Yeah, but good. But when does the transaction take place? Right? When he's pouring out the wine...
Who's the seller?
Who's the buyer? Who's the seller? When he's pouring out the wine, does it belong to the seller, the buyer, or the middleman? There's three people now, possibly, in here. Don't get too much... And what happened is... Nishprachavis. Suddenly the barrel broke. Yeah, so at that point, noch besser. Who does the barrel belong? Who does the wine belong to at that point? Nishpura l'sarsa. It belongs to the middleman. He's the one who's because it's because what actually happens is when you have a middleman, he acquires the wine and then on sell. The technicality is that he acquires it and on sells it to the buyer. So if it broke. It was in his possession while the transaction was mid-flight. It was his. So he loses out. Now, then it says, V'chayiv lahatif le'sholesh tipin. The seller, when he pours out the wine into the keli of lekeach, yeah, so what happens is, you know, as you know, when you pour things out, sometimes you get little bits that don't fall out. So he has to drip a few extra drips at the end to give him his full amount. So he has to do three extra drips at the end to get the, so he doesn't rip off the buyer. Herkino umitzis. Once he's done that, So the seller's keli is probably still still wet or still got something in it. You can't completely empty out down to the last drop. So if you're there, and let's say he poured out all the drops he thought he could, and then he tilted the bottle, and a little bit was still left in there, even after he added the extra drops. Harehu shomoicha. So that, at that point, the lekeach got enough, and that leftover bit at the bottom of the barrel belongs to the seller. We're going to go through the detail of all this tomorrow. Vachenveni, if it's a shopkeeper, so this is all when it's an individual person selling. If it's a shopkeeper and you're going to the shop and he's selling wine to a million people, and a chayav lahatif sholish tipin, he doesn't need to. There were rabbis were lenient on him. He doesn't need to add the extra three drips, because the amount of time it's going to take him to do extra three drips for every customer is going to add up to productivity problems. Yeah. So they said, you know what, well, he doesn't have to. Whatever, build that into the price. Whatever, you know, he doesn't have to do it. And everybody should understand that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos in Chashecha Potter. Erev Shabbos, as it's getting close to dark, so Friday afternoon when everybody's in a rush, then Potter. The Gemara's going to ask, who's Potter? What are you talking about? You're talking
the
about seller. Yeah, but you're talking about the seller, you're talking about the Chenveni. Is he saying that generally Yechayev and this was he arguing with the bit that says the Chenveni doesn't have to, and he's saying only on Friday afternoon he doesn't have to? Or is he saying that even Friday afternoon, even if you're not a chenveni, you don't have to? Rabbi Yehuda, it's not clear yet. It's not clear who is Potter over here, because the previous part of the Mishnah, we distinguished between as just your average person and the shopkeeper. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say which one he's talking about, so we don't know actually where Rabbi Yehuda holds. So, you know, well, because Yehuda sometimes do things that are a bit cryptic, you know, so.
Who's Paskin?
Well, not Paskin, we just want to understand what Rabbi Yehuda said. We're not passing anything out of a Mishnah.
Nobody's taking
okay, all right, calm down. We're going to do the Gemara now. The Gemara's going to explain a bit more detail. Says the Gemara. So the first case was, we said, that if the guy's pouring, while it's still being poured, and it's not full yet, it belongs to the seller. Once it's filled up to the level that's the full amount that the person's buying, then it now belongs to the buyer. Is the question is, how meter the man? Whose container is it? This thing that you're measuring out, the 3 liters in, whose container is it in? If the container belongs to the buyer, yeah, then what do you mean, actually? How can you say that until it's full, everything in that container belongs still to the seller? Meter the lekeach. It's in my container. I'm the buyer, and it's in my container. Why on earth should it belong to the seller? We've learned already several times the stuff that's in your container belongs to you. This is actually a bit of a rerun of that famous Midas Brisa, which we had, the Arba Midas, which we did a couple of days ago. Yeah, so as we said, if it's in the container of the Lekeach, then Rishon Kana was the expression. As each bit gets in, it belongs to the buyer. So it doesn't belong to the seller. So what are you talking about? Well, so it must be Mida de Meicher. We're talking about that the container belongs to the seller. As if the container belongs to the seller, Mishan Ismail is Mida Lekeach. The Mishnah said that when it was filled, it now belongs to the buyer. But if it's still in the container of the seller, it is Mida de Meicher. So it's a seller's container. Now it's bothering me. Why should it belong to the buyer if it's still in the seller's containers? So what's going on here? It's Amar Rabbi Loi. So Rabbi Loi answered, "Bemida sarsur." We're talking about where it doesn't belong to either of them. It belongs to some third party. And what's the deal? Like we said in that when we talked about that famous brisa, that the buyer and the seller together go to the middleman and say, we want to borrow your container. So how does two people borrow a container? The terms of the borrowing is that as long as it's not full yet, it's the buyer, it's the seller who's borrowing it. So therefore, at that point, everything in there is his. And once it's full, then the buyer is now borrowing it to take it home in the container. So then, once it's full, He's now the borrower of the container. So it's like his, because when you borrow something for the period of the time that you're borrowing it, it's like your container.
When you say, smala amido, is that that the buyer is saying, I want to buy a gallon of wine?
Mm.
Do we say that until the buyer's container is filled with a gallon? Or you know, when we use that word mido, and there's some... What is that mido referring to?
The mido is the container, in this case.
Of into which the wine...
Until which the wine is being poured.
Right, so it's
but if it's not
the ladle that you're using...
No. But if it's not nismalis, that means the deal was to buy a gallon,
okay,
as you said.
Correct, right.
And there's only half a gallon in there so far.
Right.
Right? So then the question is, so when are we going to decide that it still belongs to the seller? So in the case where the container actually belongs to neither of them, and they're borrowing it, then the terms of the borrowing is that as long as the whole gallon has not been poured yet, it still belongs to the seller. Because he's the one who's pouring it out, so he borrowed the container. So at that point in time, it's his. Once it's full, now the buyer is borrowing it, so at that point in time, it's his. Fred the Gemara, what do you mean you're talking about where the container belonged to a middleman? V'amidikatani sefer, the next words in the Mishnah is, V'im hayasarsar b'nehem. That if there was a middleman in between them, nishpura chavis, nishpura sarsur, and then if a barrel broke, it's bad luck for the middleman. So that means biklal dereisha. So that means till then, lavisarsur skinner. We weren't talking about a middleman. Yeah, the Mishnah's talking along, and then suddenly the Mishnah goes, oh, by the way, if there is a middleman, then this is the halacha. That means till then, you were talking about where there's no middleman. Because otherwise, you don't start with a new sentence if there was a middleman. Yeah? So the Gemara explains, no, in both cases there is some sort of middleman. The Reisha is Mida B'lo Sarsur. In the Reisha, there isn't a middleman in the transaction, but there is still a borrowed container. In the Reisha, it doesn't say Yesh Sarsur B'nei, because there isn't a middleman breaking the deal and getting the wine from one and giving it to the other. But there is a middleman in the sense that they didn't have a suitable container, so they went to Containers R Us, and they got, because they needed a container that has degradations on it, so that they'd know, because he wants to buy only a certain amount. And they didn't have an appropriate measuring container, so they went to Containers R Us, and they borrowed one. Maybe they rented it, whatever, yeah? But they're not borrowing the services. They're not using the services of a middleman. It's literally the container only. So therefore, it doesn't mention the middleman. And then it goes on to say, if the middleman was actually doing the transaction, then Kolzman, it's in the middle, it belongs to him, and if it breaks at that point, it's his bella. Yeah, so the ratio is the mid below Sars, it's just a container without the guy. Yeah, and safer, Besar Saratsma, the next part of the Mishnah is where you actually have a person who's providing a service and doing the actual middlemaning, and then it belongs to him. Okay, then we said next in the Mishnah, Hirkina, at the end of the whole thing, the seller has his barrel from which he's poured out all the wine to the buyer. And then he tips it on its side, and he finds that there's still a little puddle of wine at the bottom. Harei Shomoicher, he can keep that. That stays with the seller. Okay, so that's, and the reason is because everybody understands that. It's not because you're allowing him to cheat. It's when the deal's made in the first place, the buyer understands that when you pour from your bottle of wine into my bottle, then there's got to be something left at the bottom. You can't get every drop out.
So means your container's not going to get a gallon full of wine when you're ordering it.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
It'll be a gallon.
If I'm buying a gallon from you, you've got a gallon container, and I say, sell me that gallon of wine, and you pour it out, I understand there's going to be some little bits left at the end that you're not going to get every single last drop. Yeah, and therefore it's all built into the deal, whatever, the prices accordingly, etc. So it's not like we're ripping off the buyer here. We're just saying that that's the way the transaction, that's the standard business practice. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Now, Kisolik Rabbi Lazar, when Rabbi Lazar went up to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Lazar went on Aliyah from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, Ashrichel Zairi, he found Zairi. He's on Malay, and he was just new in town, so he didn't know anybody. All he did was find Zairi. So he said to Zairi, Mikan Tana, the Asni Rav Midas. Is there somebody here, a Tana means a Kolonik, who was taught, that Rav taught him about the laws of measurings? Yeah? He wanted somebody who was a student of Rav, who would know all of Rav's opinions, etc. Measuring laws. Is that like a mother-in-law? A measuring-law? he'd get a, he'd know all of Rav's measuring-laws, and therefore he wanted to hear from him. Probably he was in the middle of davening, so he pointed to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. He said, there's your man, you go ask him. It's all my life, so Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi joins the conversation, and Rav Elazar asked him, Micah Kashalach, what's your question? Obviously, but the fact that you're asking, is there anybody here who knows Rav's teachings about measurements, that means obviously you've got a question. So he says to him, what's your question? So Rav Elazar says to him, my question is, the Tanan, the Ashtakasha is, we learned in the Mishnah, Hakino Mitzvah, if he took the barrel and tilted it over. And the leftovers in the Harayu Shom Moicher belongs to the seller. Turn the page. V'hatznan. We have another Mishnah regarding Truma. Yeah? If you say that the wine that's in this barrel is Truma, or this bottle, whatever, yeah? The wine is Truma. And now he's pouring it out. And there's a little bit left in there after he's finished pouring it out and dripping off. Then what do we say? Hakino Mitzvah, Harayu Truma. Even that little bit left in the bottle that it came from is considered truma. So what does that mean? You said the wine in the bottle is going to be truma, and then you poured it out. So now you're saying that the one that's left in is also truma. And in that sense, the corresponding case, the truma is like the buyer. Yeah, you're taking something that's not truma, and you're making it into truma. You're pouring it out, and now you're saying what's left in the original bottle does become truma. So the corresponding situation should be that when the buyer buys what's in the bottle, then when you pour it out, a little bit left, it should belong to the buyer, just like it belongs to Truma when you said, I'm going to get Truma. So how can it be so? Is on my lay, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi answers him, Ha'itzmar Allah. We have the answer, it was already stated, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abahu said, never, it's interesting, he wanted to know what Rav says, and he quotes from Rabbi Abahu in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. But anyway, Mishum Yiyush Bailim Naguba. That's because the owner gives up hope. It's different when you have a buyer and when you have truma, yeah? When you have a transaction between a seller and a buyer, then it's business practice. And the buyer knows that business practice is that when I buy a bottle of wine that he pours out for me, I'm not going to get every last drop. And therefore, he's sort of giving up on that. He's moichel, whatever. He understands he's not getting it. So that's a business transaction. So therefore, that little bit left in the bottle stays with the seller. But in the case of truma, you made a truma. It doesn't become untruma because it's too hard to get out of the bottle. Yeah, it's still truma. Truma is not moichel anything. It's not like a buyer can say, don't worry about those last three drops. Truma can't say that. There's nothing to say. You made a truma, so it stays truma. So that's it's a different type of situation. Okay. Next bit. Now we had this last part of the Mishnah says that a shopkeeper doesn't have to do the extra dripping. And then we had Rabbi Yehuda with his cryptogram, who said, Erev Shabbos, right before nightfall, potter. Didn't say who's potter, what's potter. So he boiled. So the Gemara asked, Rabbi Yehuda, Areisha Koi Ulakula, is he going on the first bit? The first bit is when you're not a chenveni. Yeah, just your basic seller. So basic seller, we said, has to drip out a bit extra to make sure it's as much as possible going to the buyer. Is Rabbi Yehuda referring to that and saying that even Joe Schmo, who's selling his own private wine, if it's Erev Shabbos late in the day and he's busy, he doesn't have to, so he's being lenient on everybody, any average balabos? Oy Dilma Asefikoy, or maybe he's going on the second bit. The second bit said that the rabbis were lenient on the shopkeeper, and Rabbi Yehuda is coming l'chumra, and he's saying, no, when are we lenient on the shopkeeper? Only Friday afternoon. That means the rest of the week, the shopkeeper also has to do it, so he's being stricter.
Yeah, but if the remaining bit is an expectation that you still have to give it to Turma, and not
leave
it... The remaining bit that you can't give because you can't pour out is regarded as truma.
Yeah.
How do you give it to truma? If there's the expectation.
Well, it means Either you can't.
Well, if you can give it to truma.
Okay.
One minute.
What does it mean that it's truma? If you give it, you don't give it to truma. It is truma. It's the object. The wine is truma. That means if you're not a kohen, you can't drink it. You can't, shake out the drops into your mouth if you're not a kohen.
So what are you going to give that tiny little bit to?
What do you do with a tiny little bit of truma that you can't get?
With the transaction, the buyer hasn't got the patience to wait for his meichel.
Right.
Right. Whereas with truma,
yeah, exactly.
You know, maybe truma is not meichel.
There's nothing to be meichel. Yeah. It's the chefza, the object. The wine is truma.
Yeah.
It can't be meichel on it. If you've got a cup of wine here and it's truma, you can't say, oh, meichel. No, it's
what
not truma.
What do you do with the truma bit that's very
What do you do with any leftovers? What happens?
You leave it, then you let it drip out.
You bury it. You pour it out onto your garden. I don't know what you do with it. You use it for shampoo. That's what kohenim. Isn't what kohenim do with truma tomato? They use it for shampoo. Whatever. But it's the object. It's the chefza. It's truma. Yeah? There's nothing to be meichel over there. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda, so getting back to Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda is being lenient or is he being strict? Is he being lenient on everybody else or is he being strict on the shopkeeper? It's Toshama, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha, Chem V'ni Potter. Friday afternoon, that's when the shopkeeper is exempt. Because a shopkeeper, Friday afternoon, he wants to shut the shop up and go home, get ready for Shabbos. And all the last minute nudniks are coming to buy. And then they're going to say, oh, I need my extra 3 drops. So then he can say, gay feifen, and I'm not giving you extra 3 drops, I'm busy at Erev Shabbos. Yeah? So that's the only time, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you can get away without it. That means the rest of the week, even the shopkeeper has to give the extra 3 drops. It's only for an afternoon when he's busy. Okay. Zog to Mishnah Vayter. Hashelayach es benoye etzelchen v'ni. Somebody sends his son to the shopkeeper. And he wants the son, he gives the son brings, let's learn Pasha Pshat is with the brackets, there's a whole debate over here, but Pasha Pshat, he gives the son a punjin. A punjin is 2 isers. So it's like he gives him a $2 coin, and he says, I want to buy a dollar worth of oil, and you'll give me a dollar change. Yeah? So that's what he wants to happen. He sends his son, Umadad loy bi iser shemen. And the guy measures out to him 1 iser's worth of oil. Then Nasan lays the iser. He gives him change. Yeah, he gave him a $2 coin. He gives him $1 a cup of oil, and the other dollar back. He gives him change.
So was the deal done?
1 second, but you got a child here. But no, here means a child. Doesn't mean his 37-year-old son who won't leave home. Sachar es atzloichis. Sorry, Shavus. I can't read him with the glasses. Shiver es atzloichis. If he broke the cup, because the kid's going home with a cup of oil in his hand, riding his bike probably, with a cup of oil on the handlebars, and he's got the money in his mouth, he broke the bottle of oil, the Omer is a Isser, and he lost the money. Funny things happen.
Good story.
It's Chen v'Nichayev. It is responsibility of the shopkeeper.
Oh, wow.
We'll see. The pastor, so you don't give a kid a cup of oil and a
coin.
Oh, so what did the father mean? That's going to be the question. Yeah. So the first Tana says that the chenveni is responsible, and Rabbi Yehuda Peter. Rabbi Yehuda, this time you agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no, the chenveni is exempt. Shal manaske in sholchei. That was the intention of the father when the father sent the kid to the shopkeeper. His intention was that the shopkeeper should give the kid a cup of oil and a $1 coin. And the Chenveni did what the father wanted, so now it's the father's problem. So that's the argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Umaydim Chacham Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham will agree to Rabbi Yehuda, Bismachat Tzlechis Baratinek, that if the kid turns up with a jug, Umadar Chenveni Lesoicha. So where did he get the jug from? He brought the jug from home, Pashtus. And so the first case, we weren't talking about where the jug came. We're saying he went to the shop and the guy gave him a jug of oil. Yeah. Now we're talking about where the kid brought the jug from home and the shopkeeper poured into the jug. Then the shopkeeper is potter, because that jug was always belonged to the father. And the jug is the father's jug. And he's poured stuff into it. So it's still the father's jug, so he's potter. Okay. But it's not so simple. Says the Gemara. Bishlama be'isser v'shemen. When you're talking about, forget about the bottle for a moment. Yeah, the case where the guy gave him, when the kid didn't bring the jug, but the shopkeeper gave him. Here's a $1 jug of oil, and here's a $1 coin change. Yeah, and then they argue. So what's the argument? Is in that case I understand, but here's the argument. The Rabbanan Savri Le'eduyeh Shodru. The Chachamim hold when you send a little kid to the shop and to tell the shopkeeper, I want a thing of oil, yeah, for $1, then what's the pshat? The pshat is you're telling, you're putting in an order. You're not asking him to bid the kid, give it back to the kid, let him take it home. You're putting in an order, and the shopkeeper should send his delivery man to deliver. This doesn't mean he wants the kid to be the delivery man. So the Chachamim said, it's just to tell him, to here's an order, and I'm ordering you, and I'm ordering it, and you'll still deliver it. Deliveroo. Yeah?
That depends on what the father said to the kid.
Oh, well, that's, so the we don't know what the father said to the kid, so we're discussing. So the Chachamim say that probably, min hastam, what the father said to the kid was, go and tell him that I want to order a thing of oil, and then he should send it, and there's normally delivery channels. Rabbi Yehuda saw, and Rabbi Yehuda holds no, when the father sent his kid to the shop, he's expecting that the kid himself will bring the oil home. So that's the argument. What does the father mean when he sends his kid to the shop? That's all talking about the oil and the money. Hello. But the tzloichis, but what about the jug? If the father actually gave the kid a jug, a glass jug, and he says to the kid, take the glass jug to the shop and get it filled up, yeah? Is Aveda Midasi. If the father gave the kid the jug on the way to the shop to put on the handlebars of his bike, and then the kid broke it on the way there, on the way back, whatever, that means the father was negligent. It's Aveda Midasi. It's almost like he's throwing the jug in the rubbish. You give a little kid a jug to carry on his bike when he's riding, he's going to break it. So therefore, why should the Chenveni have any responsibility whatsoever? If the father's willing to give the kid a jug to ride around on his bike, then why should the shopkeeper be any different? If the father's the one who threw out the jug, then it's his problem. As Amar Rav Hoshe answers, Achal Balabais Moichet Tzloiches Askinon. Here, the plot is more complicated. The guy buying the oil happens to be a manufacturer of jugs. So what he's doing is, he's sending a jug. There's two different things going on here. Number one is he wants to buy some oil. Number two, he's trying to sell the guy a jug. Yeah. And what happened was, the kid is bringing a sample jug to the Chenveni, and the Chenveni is looking at the jug to decide if he wants to buy it or not. Yeah. He goes, not lechemin as levakra. Could the Shmuel, like Shmuel says, Dama Shmuel, neitokli min ha'umun amas levakra. If you take a vessel from the manufacturer, from the tradie, whatever, who makes it, v'nenas b'yadai, you know what they say, if you broke it, consider it sold. Yeah, you walk into a shop, and it says, don't touch, and if you broke it, you bought it. Yeah, so that's what it says. You picked it up to look at it, decide if you want to buy it, and you're a shlemazel, and you dropped it, you got to pay for it. So over here, the oil seller was checking out the jug to see if he's going to buy it. While he was checking it out, he dropped it. So then, chayiv. Now, who's that according to? Now, don't forget, that pit was also machlokes. Yeah, not only was the oil in the shemen, but there we also had the Tanakama said that the chenven is takachayiv, but Rabbi Yehuda says potter. So what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda potter, if we're talking about a case where the shopkeeper's looking at the jug to decide whether to buy it? That means even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says potter, because he hasn't bought it yet. Yeah, he's just looking at it. Does that mean, says the Gemara, laying with the Shmuel Tanoi, does that mean that Shmuel's statement is an argument? That Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Shmuel? That if you broke it, you bought it? And then even if you broke it, it's not your problem? So the Gemara doesn't want to say that. First of all, it's a heap of common sense. But also, what's the problem now? We never found anywhere that we have a brisa, as Rashbam points out, we have a brisa that's a proof for Shmuel later on. We don't want to make a machlekes on Shmuel's din if we don't have to. Yeah? So, comes along Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Yomit Shavah, they say no, we're not. Everyone agrees that Shmuel's correct. That if you're looking at some tzchora to decide whether to buy it, and you break it, then you have to pay for it. Over here, Hacha Bechemvin Yomechitz Lechitz Eskin, and here the shopkeeper is trying to sell jugs as well. It's not the pshat the father sent the jug with the kid to get it filled up. It's the pshat the kid came to buy oil. And the shopkeeper says, you know what? I've got these great jugs as well. I'll sell you the oil, and I'll sell you this new jug as well. Yeah. So now the jug is the same as the oil, just like you argue about whether the oil was meant to be sent with the kid or wait for the delivery man. It's the same thing about the jug itself. Yeah, well, Azra, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, then it's the same machlokes. There's no difference now in theory between the oil and the jug. Either way, he spilled the oil, he broke the jug, it's the same thing. What about the next part? The Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that if the kid is holding the jug, and the Chachamim pours into it, that the Chachamim is potter. One second. Why would the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda in that case? If the Chachamim hold in general, yeah, that when the father sent the kid, he's only sending him as a messenger to put in the order, not to actually be the delivery man. And now you're telling me that the jug is just part of the order, like the oil. Yeah, so why should the Chachamim be Maida? Why should the Chachamim be Maida? Even if the kid's got the jug in his hand, who told the Chenveni to put the jug in the kid's hand? Kid turns up and says, Dad wants a liter of oil. Next thing he knows, the Chenveni says, here, hold the jug, I'm pouring it into you. So why should the Chachamim agree that the kid's chayiv, or the father's lost it? It should be the same thing. Ella, says the Gemara, final thing, Abin bar Abaye bar Abin and Abchanina bar Abin Rami Shavayu Hachal Mayaskinon Nechanot La Lamudba. He took it. It was not a. It was nobody's selling jugs over here. We're just talking about that the father sent a jug take with the kid, but he didn't say anything about what the jug should do. The kid had a jug in his bag, and the Chenveni decided. Oh, you've got that jug there. You know what? Give me your jug and I'll measure it out for you. So who took the initiative to use that jug? That was the shopkeeper. So that's why it's chayiv. And now they're talking about Rabba's din. The Omar Rabba Hikisha is chayiv. We said, this is in Hilchis returning a lost article. Hashavas Aveda. An old man, Ve'en Lefi Kvoidoi, doesn't have to return the lost goat. Yeah, because it's not respectful for him to go chasing a goat. What happens if he starts chasing the goat, and then in the middle, he changes his mind and says, I couldn't be bothered now. So now, he's chayiv, but now he has to do the full job. If you started pulling the goat or hit the goat and the goat started going, now you're responsible to make sure it gets back to the owner, even though originally you would have been exempt. Yeah? Because you started, you fixed it. So the Gemara says, 1 minute, how can you say this is to do with Rabba? Eimer damer Rabba, v'balechayim. Rabba only says that with animals. The Aknatinu Nigra Baraisa, because you've showed him a foreign way. In other words, once the animal got used to listening to you telling him to go somewhere, so now the animal's almost like more lost than it was before. Before it was just standing by itself lost. Now that you've started directing the goat, I mean, a goat's the goat, yeah? So he thinks, okay, you're telling me to go somewhere, I'll go. Yeah? And now you stop in the middle, you've actually made it worse than it was before. So then Rabbi says, hang on, you've made it worse. Don't leave the goat in limbo over here. Take the goat home. Yeah? But Kihai Gavna Miyama, well, he said the same thing about a jug. Yeah? Ela Mar Rava Aniva Risha Bechurva Tagaminu. Me and the lion will answer it. Umanu, who's the lion? Rab Zera. The answer is Achama Askinong and Chanotla Lamud Balacherim. He took the kid's jug. To measure out for somebody else. Yeah? He wasn't doing the kid's thing at all. He just happened to notice the kid has a jug. Another customer walks in without a jug. And he says, you know what? I'm going to just borrow the kid's jug to measure out for you. So he's a borrower, but he didn't actually ask the lender whether he's happy to lend it to him. So the machlek is here. If somebody borrows without asking. One holds that you can borrow without asking, and you just have a normal din of a shoyl, and then I guess it's meisa machas malacha, so he's not chayiv. Umar savar gazlan have, and the chachamim say, sorry, the chachamim hold that is a gazlan. Once you're a gazlan, then you're chayiv for oinsin. So you broke it, you stole it, you broke it, you pay for it.